Good morning. Welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy course on Java on Microsoft Azure. My name is Brian Benz. I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft Open Technologies. We're a group inside Microsoft who is tasked with enabling open source software and technologies on Microsoft Azure and on devices. And with me is?
Martin Sawicki. I'm a program manager at Microsoft OpenTech. I run a number of Java-related projects, tooling for Windows Azure, basically. So yeah, I'm happy that we can do this, finally.
Yeah. So this morning, I'll just get right into the agenda here. This morning, we're going to be talking about Java on Azure in general. This module in particular is just going to be an introduction. I'm going to be talking about all of the facilities that are available to you. And we're going to show you a little bit about some of the things that we're going to be talking about for the rest of the day. We've got a couple of sample apps. We've got a couple of examples that we're going to be working on. We're going to talk about the Java Dev Center itself and all the VM images that you have, virtual machine images that you have available to you as well, and a number of other things. So we've got a lot of sample apps. We've got a lot of code. And we've got a lot of examples for you. If you're an Eclipse developer, if you're a Java developer in general, I think you'll find this extremely useful. So Java on Azure. The first thing we really want to show you is something that Martin's put together to show you how we can actually deploy things. But before we do that, I want to talk about Java on Azure in general. Why would you want to use Java on Azure? One of the things that a lot of Java developers aren't aware of, Martin and I speak at a lot of Java events. We were just at EclipseCon last week, and a lot of people are surprised to know that Azure is actually not only a Windows platform, you can actually run Linux on Azure as well. In fact, 20% of our IaaS installations of our actual IaaS servers running are actually running on Linux, and we have four different endorsed versions of Linux that you can use as well. We have Android, runs on phones. We integrate with some of our mobile services that you can use on Azure as well. And we have a lot of Java application server options. We have a bunch of tools, some of the tools we're going to show you today for app server support, deploying things to Azure. And we also have a Java SDK for Azure that has enabled a lot of services that run on Azure. To be used in your Java applications. So without further ado, we're just going to get right in and show you some of the examples that we'll be covering later on today in more detail. But just to show you how they work, Martin's got a couple of things he wants to show you.
Yeah, so I just wanted to start off with a sneak preview, basically, of a little demo. So the title of this demo, I guess, is the quickest way to deploy a Java application to Azure from both Eclipse and from Jenkins. So let's just switch over to my Eclipse here. So I'm going to start off with just a plain vanilla My Hello World type of a dynamic web project. It's completely plain. There's nothing Azure specific about it. I already installed my Azure toolkit here, so you can see the menu that this is actually coming from Azure tools. And all I have in this little application is just a silly little GSP file. So this is really just basic stuff. Anyway, the point of this is how do I just get this simple application running on Azure the fastest way I can without really thinking too hard about it. So if I select this project, you can either right-click on it, go to Azure, and you see this Publish to Azure command, or you can just simply go to this button here. It's basically same; it does the same thing.
Actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to mention a couple of things before you go on. Sorry to interrupt, but two things that are of note here. Martin, if anyone had noticed, is running a Mac. He's running actually Eclipse on a Mac, the toolkit that he's showing right now is called the Azure Toolkit for Eclipse, and it is actually a plugin that you enable from Eclipse that we've written.
Actually, we're going to get much deeper into what that actually means, how we how you get it to work, how to use it, and all that. For now, I just want to show you just the quick way to get it to work. So I'm just going to click this publish button. It will basically pre-generate some stuff behind the scenes, but we don't have to worry about what it is for now. It's just going to assume a default JDK package, which is basically an Azul Zulu OpenJDK, which is available on Azure, one of the several JDKs available on Azure. And it's, as a default, it's going to assume Tomcat V8, a recent version that's also available on Azure. But you can customize this after the fact with pretty much arbitrary servers and JDKs. So I'll just click OK, and that will kick off a publish wizard. Now, if you're doing it for the first time, you would import your publish settings file, which is basically just a way to store credentials. That's how Azure gives you your credentials, basically. So I've already imported my publish settings file. So I'm just going to say that I'm going to specify a storage account for deploying this project. I'm going to specify a service name. So that's part of the DNS, basically a name. And I can specify other things, but I'm just going to leave it this way and click publish. And this kicks off a build task within Eclipse, which is running on top of Ant. Actually, it's an Ant build task. And now we're in the we're basically in the deployment process. So this deployment will take a few minutes. It basically gets deployed into Azure. A virtual machine gets provisioned, so we'll get back to this in a few minutes just to see how it's going. But in the meantime, one of the cool things that's happening here is that by the virtue of publishing this Java application to Azure using this Eclipse toolkit, you are also creating, the toolkit is creating for you automation scripts, Ant-based automation scripts. So I can switch back to Jenkins right away. Let's just switch back to... So I already have Jenkins running just on my local machine just for demo purposes, and I've already created a build job that will publish that application that I just published to Azure. It will publish it in a completely automated way, and I'll show you later in our session how to actually do it. Right now, I'm just going to do it basically to show you that it works. So I'll just click build now, and this will start the deployment process of the same project that I started deploying from Eclipse, just going to a different deployment slot on Azure so we can see those two applications working in parallel, one deployed through Eclipse IDE and the other one from Jenkins. So that has started, and let me just show you the console window. Very similar output is, again, the same Ant task running under the hood. And this will, again, take a few minutes, so we'll check back with this in 10 minutes or so. And then we'll see just both applications running in Azure.
Sure. So what did we just do? So I just want to explain a little bit about what Martin just showed you as well. So I mentioned it's an Eclipse toolkit. It's for Azure. And what that does is it enables you through Eclipse to have easy access to the Azure Java SDK inside your Eclipse environment. It also enables you to deploy things easily to Azure. I should mention as well that all the code that we're showing today is open source and it's available on GitHub. And I'll show you that in a little while as well. The other thing we had is, as Martin mentioned, one of the new features of the Eclipse toolkit is it actually generates an Ant script. And that Ant script you can run from a command line anywhere. It doesn't have to be in Jenkins, could be anywhere, and allows you to, without Eclipse, without anything else, it'll actually allow you to publish your deployment packages out to Azure, to what we call cloud services, and I'll explain.
And that's one of several ways. That's one of several ways of deploying Java. So there's a number of choices. We just started out with something very a sneak preview of one of the ways, but we'll talk about more in a few minutes.
Yeah, so we've got the Eclipse plugin we're going to talk about a lot in the fourth module, which will be just after lunch today. And the Ant scripts and the generation of that, we're gonna talk about in DevOps, will be the last module today as well. But we'll be sort of cutting back and forth between those things and showing different examples of how they work throughout the day. Java SDKs for cloud services. What can you do with the Java SDK for cloud services? We have what we call the Azure Java SDK. There's actually a number of SDKs available. And we have an application that I want to show you today. Once again, this is an open source application. Let me just switch over to my browser. So I've got the application running here. And the application itself is just a simple chat application. It allows you, this is all running on Azure, and it's running on a Tomcat server. It uses Bootstrap. It uses jQuery and a few other things for the UI. It uses the Spring framework behind the scenes. We've got a few utilities running there. And we've also got access to Java services, Azure services via Java using the Java SDK. So what you can do with this, it's just a typical chat application. I can just say, this is a post, and I can post this, you know, and it just puts it over here in my feed, and you can see things. Oh, I've got a video that I uploaded a little while ago. Whoops, it's giving me an error. So I should point out, you're going to might see some errors with this application today and a little few screen
messages. These are live demos. These are live demos.
Yes, this is a live demo. And also, this application is not meant to be an application that you could go and build a service on for a company or something. This application is built to show off the features of the Java SDK and the features of Azure. So a lot of questions we get when we're out talking to Java developers is, you know, this is great that you've got these Azure services, you've got this SDK, you've got a few little simple Hello World applications, you've got some code snippets, but how do I actually build an application using all these things that will work for my customers, for my company, et cetera, et cetera? So what we've done here is we've actually built this application to basically show you how to do that. And so there might be a few bugs and a few things in the actual implementation itself, but the idea here is if you need to, for example, to know how to get a photo, put it in an application, and store it to Azure Storage, or write information from a Java application into a SQL Azure database, or use Azure Tables to manage friend requests or relationships inside of an application like this one. All the examples are here, and I'll be drilling down into this in the next few modules and showing you how it all works. But for now, you know, I can do things like just post a picture, some pictures I had from a recent trip, flying out there. And basically, it's a very slow server, too, by the way. I've set up a very cheap server to have this running. I think it costs about $3 a month or something. But this application itself, it just allows you to post some pictures. I can like this photo. I can add a comment. And I'll show you how all that's managed later on. But just wanted to give you a little teaser of this application and what you can do with it. This application is out on GitHub. It's called Azure Chat for Java. If you just search for Azure Chat for Java on any search engine, you should turn this up. And you can just download it, play around with it.
And we just did this a couple of days ago, right? And we just published
it. Yeah, actually, we just published it yesterday.
This is brand new, so very few people are aware of this.
Yeah.
This is a lot of news. I mean, I think the first at least 20 minutes of a presentation here is about things that nobody has seen.
Right, right.
So that's
This is all.
So you're the first to see it, actually.
Yes. I've got detailed instructions here on how to set up your Azure services to work with the application, and then how to actually deploy the application out into Azure. But we're going to be covering this. We're going to show you how to set up the application and how to deploy it to Azure in subsequent modules today. We'll be talking about all that. So that's just a little bit about Azure Chat for Java. The cloud services, so for those of you unfamiliar with Java, we were just at EclipseCon, as I mentioned last week, and we're talking to a bunch of Java developers there, and really they don't really have a clear idea of what Azure is. We're working with it every day, so we take a lot for granted. But one of the things you need to know, so Azure is not just a place where you can copy your enterprise servers out to the cloud and run them out there. Azure actually has what we call cloud services. Cloud services are tools that you can use on the back end to enable your applications to run. And it's really a different way of thinking about building your Java applications versus building them in-house, building them in an enterprise, or even building them on a virtual machine out on the cloud. So the idea here is you can build an application that runs, for example, on a Tomcat server and points to a bunch of services. And here's some examples of those services here. You know, we have big data. We have HD Insight, which is our Hadoop-based implementation. We've got database storage. We've got Traffic Manager for load balancing and caching for performance, messaging, identity, network, media. And I'm going to be covering a lot of these services later. But just to give you an idea of some of the building blocks you can use for your application, if I need storage, I don't need to figure out how to build a file system that scales. I can just use Azure Storage and scale that. If I want to build something that uses media services, for example, allows me to upload things quickly and then, in a performant way, and then encodes them in 32 different formats and streams them for me. We have a media services SDK that can do that as well. So here's the Java SDKs that we have. Actually, before I go into that, Martin...
We can check. We're ready to check back with our applications. So, you know, we published it a few minutes ago, and now I can switch back to my Eclipse first. So you see the status here. It says published. Probably on a small screen, it's not that visible. And if I click on this link, well, you see that my code is just hello from Azure, so we're not expecting a whole lot happening here in this really, really simple application. But you can see it. This is... my Java application is this really simple application running inside of Azure. So you can see cloudapp.net. That's basic. And this is an obfuscated URL because we published it to the staging deployment slot, which basically makes it look like production, but it's hidden from the world. So you can test it that way. If we switch back to Jenkins, let's take a look at that progress. That should be finished by now as well. Oh, Jenkins, we have it here. So you see that as well, built successful, and it outputs the URL of the application where it was posted, where it was uploaded. So it's a different URL because I configured my Jenkins task to publish it to a production production deployment slot, which is why it has the service name at the beginning here. And if I click on that, at the top is just an uncustomized version of Tomcat, but if I go inside that application, I see my application here. So again, this is just a very quick and dirty way to get started, to just get your simple Java application running in Azure with minimum effort. But of course, you can customize pretty much everything about it, and we're going to be going deeper into all that over the course of the next modules.
Great. So I wanted to talk to you about all the SDKs we have. Basically, I've got a quick laundry list here of all the SDKs. So we got blob storage, so you can store things like a file system. We got table service, which is a non-structured service. It's inside of storage, and it stores things in JSON, XML, and formats that you need. You don't need to manage schemas. It's schemaless. We've got queue services, which allow you to put things into storage in a managed way. So if you've got a lot of activity in your storage, it'll actually allow you to control some of that through queuing. We've got media services, as I mentioned before, that allows you to do things like encoding, managing your versions of videos, for example, and actually streaming them with multiple options for scaling. We've got the SQL DB, which is a SQL database. You can access that through JDBC. You can access that through just plain old SQL, through a code. I should mention as well, as you noticed on the right of all these services, most of them are available through REST APIs as well. I'm going to be showing you the API calls today, but you can use REST if something isn't available for you, for your application, through our API calls. DocumentDB is a NoSQL database that Microsoft has developed. HD Insight is Hadoop-based. It's a large big data analytics platform. Access Control allows you to filter access, and I'm going to show you examples of that in the next module.
It's authentication as a service,
yeah,
basically.
Authentication as a service. Yeah, you don't actually have to write any code very little code to actually access things via Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft accounts. Active Directory for enterprises allows you to integrate with Active Directory. Service
that's
Bus.
That's a more advanced way of authenticating, basically.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Active Directory has a lot more options for grouping, for more granular security than Access Control. And I should say it has more access control granularity that's built in. You can always write applications that control access very granularly, but this actually allows you to automate a lot of that process, takes that load off the developers. Service bus and service runtime, service bus is for managing transactions. We've got queues and topics that you could do, pub sub, as well as managing queues. Service runtime and service...
Sorry, just one more thing about service bus. It actually exposes the AMQP protocol. So if you have AMQP-enabled software, service bus has that capability as well on Azure. So for messaging, basically.
That's an important difference. Yeah, if you have an application already that's written that uses AMQP, you can use our service bus with very little changes to access your applications on Azure and actually access Azure services through the service bus. And I'll be showing some of the examples of that. We actually use a service bus in our application to manage video, and I'll show you how we do that in a little while. Service runtime, so service runtime and service management. Service management allows you to do things like create new VMs, things like that. Service runtime allows you to do things on that VM once you create them. And we have App Insights, which allows you to do some analytics, allows you to do telemetry, tracking your application, bug reporting, a lot of interesting things. Then we have two third-party applications that are integrated with Azure as well. We have Twilio, which does, it has an API for messaging, so SMS and other forms of messaging you can use that for, and SendGrid, which allows you to do mass emailing or just email management through the Azure Java.
And we should add that, you know, Brian has just described a huge surface of services and APIs in like, what, 3 minutes or so. It's a huge surface. Yeah. One thing to really understand out of this is that these services are independent of where you are actually running your application. So what I showed you is running your application in Azure, but there's all these services that you can consume from your application wherever it's running. And you're just calling into the cloud and calling into Azure, taking advantage of it. So really, I want to keep that separate so that you don't have to deploy your application to Azure to be able to take advantage of all these things.
Yeah, that's an important point. You know, I was actually had this experience yesterday. We were working on a local machine. We had working on a Java application on my local machine, and I had access through some Java properties files pointing to a bunch of Azure services. And we were actually able to take that WAR file from my local machine and just publish it out to the web. And it still ran perfectly because it was pointing to all these services. I didn't have to move anything except the code that runs on the Tomcat server. Everything else was connected to a service. So there weren't a lot of dependencies on that actual application other than Azure services, which means it could be anywhere. So I could actually, you know, theoretically send a WAR file to somebody in, you know, overseas or anywhere I wanted to in the world. It could run locally, they could put it on the cloud, they could put it on a server, and it'll just run because it's pointing to all those services. So obviously depending on bandwidth connections out to the actual services. So the next thing I want to show you was a Java Dev Center. So let me just switch over to a browser. The Java Dev Center, if you just search on Azure Java, this is the first result that comes up. It's a one-stop shop for Java developers for accessing reference docs. Let's start there. So I just talked about all the Java SDKs we have. These are all the reference docs for you here. I can click on any one of these.
And this list is still in progress. Some of them are not even showing up yet because it's an ongoing development effort.
Yeah, and more importantly, we have a lot of documentation about, you know, how do you store data in blobs? So there's just a real quick thing here, right up on how you actually do it. There's a way to set up your service, and then there's just some simple calls. This is how you actually upload a blob into a container. And I'll talk about blobs and containers and things a little bit later. But basically, if you just need some quick code to write something to Azure Storage, you could literally just cut and paste this and plug it into your application.
Yeah, and I think one of the big advantages of using Azure Storage is the high availability. It's basically always there. It doesn't matter. It's a service. It's storage as a service. So it scales automatically. You don't have to worry about it. It's the replication, the redundancy. You don't lose data. It's whenever you save anything to blob storage, it's replicated in three different places.
So three locations.
So those are some of the advantages of basically putting your data in the cloud.
Yeah. So So that's the documentation. Downloads I want to show you. So these are the SDKs we have, including Java. And you notice we have Windows, Mac, and Linux installs. So if you have Windows, Mac, or Linux desktops, servers, in the case of Linux, you can actually load these SDKs. They all run. And they are dependent on, let's scroll down here, on these command line tools. So we have what we call CLI, command line interface. And that is something that runs in the command line. It can run on Mac, Linux, or Windows. And it's Node.js based. When you actually download and install this, it installs on top of Node, or installs Node if you don't have it. It allows you to do things from the command line that interact with Azure. So if you want to create a server, if you want to update and connect to a if you want to create a storage service and connect to that, things like that, you can do that all through the command line interface. And so that's the first thing if you're going to set this up with Java, is you go into the command line tools, you just go to, you know, Azure, Microsoft, downloads, just search on that and you'll find this page. You just download, first of all, PowerShell, command line interface, and there's a bunch of sample scripts in there that you can get that show you how to do things sort of points you to the right location, gives you some details on installation, although there's not really a lot that you need to know about installation. It's pretty much takes care of itself. But once you've got that installed, it's really good for manipulating applications from the command line and running scripts that I'm going to show you some examples of scripts a bit later as well. That's the things to know about the Dev Center. I'll talk about the marketplace and a few other things later, but that's essentially it for that. So I showed you the downloads. I showed you the CLI, the multi-platform CLI that we have. I want to show you GitHub as well. So we have a number of applications. All of the SDKs that we're showing you today are actually on GitHub, and they're all open source. So the Java SDK here, Azure SDK for Java is here. If there's something that you're curious about interacting with any of these management libraries and things like that, they're all built in here. So if actually just writing code that calls the SDK isn't enough and you need to get more into the under the hood, you can actually go in here and just have a look at this. Another thing I wanted to show you, Java Docs. So we have a ton of Java Docs out there for all these APIs as well. If you're somebody or if your systems use Java Docs for this, they're all out there as well as part of the Dev Center. We also have, I mentioned we work for a group called MS Open Tech, and we actually have our own GitHub, msopentech.github.com, which is where you'll find the Eclipse toolkit that we've been talking about today, and a few other things. So that's just a little bit about the services and the applications you have. And what I want to do next is talk about your hosting options. So we talked about these services. So what can I actually do with my code? I've got some code. It's on my local machine, it's running on a server somewhere else, maybe on another cloud platform. Where can you actually put it? On Azure. And there's three options for that, really. There's IaaS, which is your own server. And that server itself...
it's a virtual machine, basically, that you manage. You can provision it easily in Azure.
It can be Windows or Linux. We have a number of options, which I'll show you a bit later, in what we call the gallery, which allows you to do virtual machine images on Windows and on Linux. Those virtual machines are basically your own server. You have complete control over that. You can run the Oracle JDK, Azure. We also have some pre-configured VMs.
A whole bunch of them.
Yeah, with this thing called...
A few hundred of them.
With 600 or 700 VMs on this thing called VM Depot, which are all Linux. And then we also have our... official Azure Gallery as well.
And the Marketplace.
Which has, the Marketplace as well. I'll be showing you details of those a bit later.
We're going to see a whole bunch of that.
But know that, for example, if you need a Tomcat server with Java running, and even Jenkins. Let's say you wanted a Jenkins server that has everything to run Jenkins already pre-configured, and all you need to do is start up Jenkins. There is an actual option for that, and I'll show you that in a little while. We also have some third-party Java-related partner applications. We partner with Oracle and IBM to deliver, for example, for Oracle, we have WebLogic, we have Oracle DB, and we have on IBM, we have DB2, MQ, and WebSphere. And
also our offerings are pay-as-you-go offerings. So that's sort of one of the great things about virtual machines in Azure, that if you get them with software pre-installed, well, some of these images come with licenses already built into them, and you pay for them on usage basis as opposed to getting into a sort of long-term contract with anybody. So those machines with some software from IBM and Oracle, you will find a number of images where you basically, if you want to test something out, if you want to just play around with some software before deciding to purchase it, for example, you can just start a virtual machine on Azure with that software on it already pre-installed for you, and you're just paying for the time you use that software as opposed to, you know, getting into a contract right away.
Yeah, the actual server itself and the license is by the minute. So you don't have to buy a license. Now, you also have an option if you have licenses already that maybe you have some extra licenses you're not using, you can bring your own license to Linux or Windows images as well.
So, right, from Oracle, IBM.
From Oracle, IBM, yeah. There's several options there. So the second option that we have is cloud services, what we call PaaS, Platform as a Service. Cloud services allow you to basically run your service. And all the things we've been showing you today are cloud services. The actual operating system is managed for you. A lot of the administration headache is taken away for you on a PaaS system, things that you
which is a key differentiator from the infrastructure as a service that we just talked about.
Yep.
The fact that it's managed for you, the fact that you don't have to worry about your operating system maintaining it, patching it, and also the fact that it's kind of arbitrarily scalable, auto-scalable, and then you can also create multiple tiers of applications. I mean, that's basically what cloud services are.
Yep.
They're meant for more complex, multi-tier deployments where you want to have kind of granular control over some things, but you don't want to take care of the lower level, the actual operating system, and some of the things that would be considered part of the infrastructure.
Yep. The third option is websites. So websites give you an easier, quicker way to set things up with less control over your environment. So IaaS, your virtual machines, you manage everything. You manage the OS, everything. PaaS, we manage the OS. We manage a lot of the network infrastructure behind the scenes, scaling and things like that. And then there's PaaS websites. Those are even simpler. And you have very few options about how you can control those at all. You can't remote into them. You can have some file access, but not all file access.
But it's lightweight. The key thing
it's
is
lightweight.
Websites are lightweight. Yeah. They're very quick to provision, and there's a free offering as well. If you're just running a little website, you can run it for free on Azure as well.
Yeah, so for a Java developer, you know, if you wanted to take a very complex, sophisticated application that relies on a very specific OS, Linux or Windows, you can put that on IaaS. If you have an application that's more flexible in terms of the application and you want to take advantage of some cloud services, then PaaS is a good fit. If you just have a WAR file, and it doesn't really connect to a lot of things, and you just want to run it right now and try it out, you can put it onto Azure websites relatively easy, be set up quite quickly. We'll talk about, Chris Reisner is going to be here later on today to talk about websites in more detail. So he'll be covering that in a lot more detail in Module 5, which I believe will be around 2 p.m. today. So, yeah. Virtual machines. So we actually covered a lot of this already, but virtual machines, basically, you've got a VM gallery, you've got images that you can actually look at. I'll show you a demo of that in a second. You've got pre-created images there, license included, pay-as-you-go. pardon me. We've also got some Java images using OpenJDK and JDK 6, 7, and 8 that you can just fire up.
Well, and one thing I should mention about JDK 6, so we have, as a result of our partnership with Oracle, we we are still making JDK 6, Java 6, available as an image on Azure, which I think those of you who have software that still relies on Java 6, you know, maybe it's not ready to migrate to Java 7 or Java 8, you can use that. You can use the latest versions of Java 6 on Azure. So normally, publicly, you don't get those, but as a, you know, by the virtue of being an Azure customer, you have access to the latest updates to Java 6.
And then we have bring your own license options. So bring your own license options allows you, as we said, to, you know, if you have some excess IBM or Oracle licenses, you can actually bring those as well. VM Depot is something I talked about. We've got Linux and FreeBSD images you can deploy from VM Depot. And it's got a lot of deployment scripts and tutorials. So cloud services... Just going to go through these real quick because we talked about them a lot already. So cloud services, I mentioned, worker roles is a term that we'll explain what that really means later. They host Java, allow you to run, you know, Tomcat app servers, things like that. We've got Enclipse and IntelliJ toolkits that you could use to manage your applications, build, test, and deploy. And we've got the Oracle JDK, OpenJDK. And a little bit about the Azure Toolkit for Eclipse before we get into any more details. So the Toolkit for Eclipse runs on Mac, Linux, or Windows.
Which is a new thing. We just shipped it literally
a few
days ago.
Yes.
You know, by because of EclipseCon, we kind of wanted to prepare this big release. So yes, we got cross-platform ability now finally. Because I mean, those of you who have maybe been aware of the our Eclipse tooling for a while, you know that we were not able to get it to work outside of Windows, but this is the major improvement, the major breakthrough that we finally made, that you can run it from a Mac. In fact, that's why we're doing our demos on the Mac today, at least some of them.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about how that was enabled and how it works a bit later. Some of the features we got, sticky sessions is what's for session persistence. And I'm just gonna go through these real quick, and we're gonna show these in a lot more detail in the future. SSL offloading, which allows you to actually build your applications without SSL, yet enable them for SSL.
And you don't, server itself that you just don't have to worry about configuring your Tomcat or JD. If you're deploying it through the Azure Toolkit for Eclipse, the toolkit has logic in it that will take care of setting up SSL HTTPS handling for you, so you don't have to individually configure your server. Your applications think it's just HTTP traffic. Your server thinks it's HTTP traffic. Yeah. We might even get into a deeper look at that, I think, later.
Yes. In your demo, absolutely.
Right?
We will. Yeah. And then Apache Ant, as we mentioned, we can deploy things there. We're going to cover that in a lot more detail. Multiple roles. So you can create multiple roles.
And just to explain what roles are in Azure, because this is sort of one of the critical pieces of the Azure vocabulary. So a role in a cloud service, I guess the best analogy would be a cluster or a tier of a multi-tier application. So when you think of a role, it's basically, you know, what is that component, what is that tier in my application that I want to scale independently of the other tiers? That's what a role in Azure represents, basically. So when we talk about a little bit more about the tooling for cloud services, the Eclipse tooling, you'll be seeing the word role showing up a lot. So I just wanted to explain that ahead of time.
Yeah. One last thing, you can test with an Azure emulator if you're using a Windows, and you can publish to Azure easily with one button, as Martin showed. We also have some tools for IntelliJ. They're a little younger than the Eclipse Toolkit. We're working on parity with those, but they basically support community and ultimate editions of IntelliJ IDEA, and they're bundled with some Android tools as well. Websites. So the other thing for websites, as I mentioned, Java from the Websites Gallery. You've got full web server deployment. You can have a choice between Tomcat or Jetty. You can configure those as much as you want. 32-bit is your default, so if you're using 64-bit, it's allowed, but there's some configuration that Chris is going to talk about in Module 5 today. And you have some custom creation options as well, basically for uploading your own JVM and Java server.
And a common theme across all of these different ways of running Java applications, Java workloads on Azure is that you have full flexibility. You have the choice. If you want to choose your own JDK, you have the choice regardless of whether you're doing this in virtual machines, cloud services, or websites. If you want to pick your own application server, again, you have your own choice. So that ability to offer a lot of choices, a lot of flexibility is an important part of the Azure cloud.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. So the other thing I want to show you, just a little bit about a comparison. When you're running PaaS or you're running websites, how would you want to do that? PaaS, as I mentioned, are quicker to deploy.
The cloud services versus websites, basically, right?
Yeah. So the websites are easier, quicker to deploy. You can use FTP, Git, Kudu, a couple other options. You can get started from the App Gallery, which is a website's App Gallery. I'll show you that in a bit. And you can use your current IDE to actually deploy things. PaaS cloud services, highly configurable. If you're using, if you're doing a lot of iterative development with large teams or basically complex services that require multi-node support for your app service layer, PaaS is probably a better fit for you.
Cloud services.
I'm sorry, cloud services are a fit for you.
We keep thinking
talking about PaaS, it's all PaaS, yeah.
Also, so, now it's in our heads. We've worked on this for way too long.
Yeah. So let me just show you real quick, and then we're going to go to some questions. Some of the things I've been talking about. So this is actually our gallery. So if I want to go and create a new virtual machine, for example, virtual machine from gallery, this is the Azure portal, for those of you who haven't seen it. These are some of the things you can do, some of the things you can create, the things you would expect from Azure are Microsoft products. Some of the things that people are surprised to see, though, down here we have Linux versions, Ubuntu. We have CoreOS, CentOS, OpenLogic, SUSE Enterprise, and SUSE Open, and then we've got some offerings from Oracle as well, and Puppet Labs. We've got some DevOps options that you can use for VM images. Over here, I've been talking about VM Depot. This is what VM Depot looks like. It is a repository for Linux images, Linux only. There's no Windows images on here, and basically, if I do a search on Java, well, there's a Tomcat server already up there. But let me see what comes up. Now, let's just look at Tomcat. So the idea here is in VM Depot, I can create a Tomcat server. If I want to deploy this out to Azure, I mentioned we have the command line interface. I make the lawyers happy, say agree. Where do I want to deploy this Tomcat server? We have several regions here, and each one of these regions has multiple locations inside of that region. So let's say I want to create a Tomcat server in Southeast Asia. I pick that location, and what it does is it actually creates a script for me that I can cut and paste into the command line window. Once I've installed the command line interface, then I fill in a few things like username, password, add the options I want. And it's actually going to go out. These are all in Azure Storage, these actual images. It's going to go out to Azure Storage, grab this image, go out to a server in Southeast Asia, and actually install a virtual machine image on Linux on that server in Southeast Asia. Let me know when it's done with a link, and I can fire up that server, and I'll be running Tomcat in a matter of minutes. So that's the advantage of VM Depot. And we have literally hundreds of images. I think right now there's 600 or 700 images out there, all different versions of things that you can run.
Anybody can contribute.
Anybody can do this. Yes, that's right. So publishing, if you're interested, if you have an image out there, anything Java-based, anything, it has to be open source and it has to be based on Linux. But as long as you can fit it on a Hyper-V image and package it up, and there's some instructions here on how to do that under the how. You can actually package that up and publish it yourself on VM Depot and share it with people. So we've got, I've even talked to some government agencies and things who have open data, and they have an application that accesses their open data, and it's Linux and it's open source, and so they're thinking about publishing their actual application that accesses their open data on here. So that's just one example of what you could use it for. So just a little introduction to Java and Azure. Today in this module, we're going to be talking a lot more about the application that I showed you earlier, the actual chat application and how it uses a Java, Azure Java SDK. And
I think we're going to say the word Java quite a few more times over the next few hours. By the fourth hour, it might be coming out wrong, but we'll try to keep it going.
Yep. So that's it. I guess we might have some questions. Chris, I don't know if we have any questions over there for...
No, you guys are good.
No? Okay. All right.
Christopher.
Sorry. So I guess we're... that's it for this module. We'll be coming back on the hour and take a quick break.
10 minutes.
Yep. We'll be coming back in 10 minutes to talk to you a little bit more about that application I showed you and all the services it uses it and how the Java code works and how it actually works with the services.